This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 9 and 10, covering Wisdom's House, Lady Folly, Memory of the Righteous, Love Covers All Offenses, and The Path to Life. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. God with his angels and saints.
Oh, God, let us worship him. Oh, God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing with joyful voice to our salvation. Let us come into his presence in this.
Let us sing with joy.
Glorious is God with his angels and saints.
A reading from Acts chapter 26. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind." But Paul said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, have compassion on our house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, have compassion on our house.
the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and all is where your glory dwells.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As Christians, especially as servants in Christ's church, we are called to bear faithful witness to Christ and to present a defense, as Paul, an apologetic for what Christ has done and what he continues to do for us and for our salvation. In doing so, we participate in the Missio Dei, God's very own mission to the world. There are times when this confession and defense will be received. We'll have the privilege of seeing God's ongoing work bear blessed fruit in the hearts and lives of people. As Paul reported to Agrippa, Jesus' words to him a few verses before our text, this witness will result in joyous reality that Jews and Gentiles alike will turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are being sanctified by faith in Christ. And so we rejoice with those gathered with us today, for by God's grace we are among those being sanctified, being made holy and righteous before God through faith in Christ. But as we heard in our text, not all believe. Not all will receive our witness and defense of the gospel. Some will be interested in what they hear, at least to an extent, like a King Agrippa. Others, too steeped in the world, will accuse us of being out of our minds. Or, to put it more forcefully, as we might translate the words Festus said in a loud voice, "You're mad, Paul. Your great learning is driving you to mania." So be forewarned, dear students and professors. It was his witness to Christ that landed Paul in prison in Caesarea in the first place. His witness based on Moses and the prophets that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Paul is in prison especially for proclaiming the hope of the resurrection. That message often caused a stir. He's been there for about 2 years at this point, and it was in part because of corrupt politicians that Paul had been in prison so long. Both the previous governor and Festus wanted to please the Jews. Moreover, Festus kept hoping for a bribe. But as a Roman citizen, Paul appealed his case to Caesar rather than stand before the Jews, who were sure to stone him to death. And this teaches us that it is not at all wrong to use just laws in our favor to avoid martyrdom. And yet this is God's plan, since it is God's mission, that Paul should fulfill the psalm, "I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame." As it did for Paul and for Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch, whose faithfulness and martyrdom we recall today, persecution can await us when we defend the one true faith in an unbelieving world. What Paul describes as true and rational words are certainly both, but not in the eyes of an irrational world that thinks itself rational, yet denies its creator and his rule over them, as well as the morality he has set forth in his word and written in the heart. Admittedly, we can at least sympathize with those around us for our own weak flesh struggles with the rationality of those parts of God's words that would not allow us to do as we think and as our flesh might desire. And too often our flesh speaks, like the world, the words of Festus in our text. You're mad, out of your mind. I want to do what I want to do. It must be true and right. It's what I feel. I don't care what God's word seems to say. But don't let yourself be like an Agrippa or a Festus, overlooking what you know is right because you want to please people or please your sinful flesh. We need to hear again and again Paul's words to Agrippa right before our text. There, Paul professes that in his obedience to Christ, he declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. Repentance is always a turning away from sin back to God. And like the believing Samaritan leper we heard about last Sunday and again on Wednesday, when we see the blessings of God in our lives, both physical and spiritual, we turn back, give thanks, and worship at the feet of our incarnate Lord. Thus we see in our text today really a twofold theme, very fitting for this commemoration of Saint Ignatius, pastor and martyr. We are to be fruitful and faithful in our witness to Christ in every circumstance, even if it means persecution, indeed, even if it might mean martyrdom, as both Paul and Ignatius suffered. We do so from a heart fully convinced that we are speaking true and rational words, first declared by Moses and the prophets, and then lived out in the person and work of Jesus Christ, Son of God and true man, who suffered on the cross unto death to pay for our sins, and is the first fruits of those who rise from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
hear my prayer. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, we praise your name for Ignatius of Antioch, pastor and martyr. He offered himself as grain to be ground by the teeth of wild beasts, so that he might present to you the pure bread of sacrifice. Accept the willing tribute of all that we are and all that we have, and give us a portion in the pure and unspotted offering of your Son. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.